Thanks for joining us here on Service to School Stories. Your hosts for this season are Alec Emmert, Service to School CEO and Navy veteran.
And Sydney Mathis, Chief Program Officer and former College Admissions Officer. This season, we'll cover topics as it relates to higher education, military service transition, and career opportunities and outcomes for veterans. Join us as we share student stories, inside tips from the admissions office, and conversations with employers actively hiring student veterans. Here we go. Welcome to this week's episode of the Service to School Stories podcast. Today, I am joined by Nathan Lowry. Nathan is the co-director of our JD program here at Service to School. So really excited to chat with him. He is also a current law school student. He attends Harvard Law School, but Nathan's background to law school, he graduated from Cornell University with his undergraduate degree in 2013. He served as a ground intelligence officer in the Marine Corps from 2013 to 2019, and he completed his service as a captain and currently works in a law firm in Vermont while you complete your studies. Nathan, you sound busy between supporting Service to School and the work that we do here, being a student and also having work in a law firm. So really excited to chat with you today. I know you're going to share a lot of really great listeners for our applicants who are considering law school. So with that, can you share a little bit more about yourself and your journey to Harvard Law School?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as you mentioned, I had graduated back in 2013, spent about 5.5 years in the Marine Corps in both Afghanistan and portions of Spain and Africa as well. I noticed, especially in Afghanistan, when it came down to decision-making and when we would have delegations come to our base and essentially make decisions, give instructions, it was often civilian lawyers who were making a lot of the call. And then operationally, our JAG was certainly very involved in the targeting process and was often the last one to give his okay before the commander made a decision. So I saw how much of an impact I think the law had on national security. And I knew national security is where I wanted to hopefully be at in the future. So I think it's a natural transition from intelligence, from national security work in the Marine Corps to hopefully a career down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you went to Cornell, did you know while you were at Cornell that you were going to serve after you graduated?
So it was something that had always been in the back of my mind prior to going to undergrad. My grandfather served in the Navy. My dad served in the Army. And, you know, it was something I thought about briefly after high school. And then when I was at Cornell, Afghanistan was really heating up. That's when the surge was occurring. So I'm, you know, here in college while a lot of people my age are, you know, fighting in southern Afghanistan, eastern Afghanistan. So I was able to basically try out, I guess you could say, the officer candidate school program in the Marines after my freshman year. And after I did, I was like, that's the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm not going back. That was terrible. You're like, that's it for me. But it really was, I think, the biggest challenge I'd had in my life up to that point. So I ended up going back after my junior year and then commissioning shortly after.
Got it. All right, so you were in the Marine Corps over in Afghanistan and saw the connection with law, right? So making the pivot, you decide to get out. How did you kind of go through or begin? Like, where did you start with pursuing law school?
Yeah, so it was probably the last 3 to 4 months of my active duty service. And I was actually deciding between the JD side and the MBA side. So I was looking pretty carefully at both programs. I actually took both the LSAT and the GMAT. And when it came to law school, you know, I think part of it was what I mentioned earlier. I think that law school in a lot of ways is a better, I think, catapult into public service and government. And then I also just felt like when I was speaking to both JD and MBA candidates, I just naturally fit in a little bit better on the JD side. But really the last few months was test prep, thinking about my personal statements, and actually working with Service to School. I was very lucky to have an excellent ambassador, Isaac Todd, who's still doing work for us, who pointed me in the right direction, and who was a JD MBA candidate himself at Northwestern.
Got it. And then prepping for the LSAT and the GRE, especially with some law schools being a little bit more flexible on, you know, not only allowing the LSAT. What would you say, or what advice do you have for applicants that are kind of, you know, toying with either exam?
Yeah, I would say, and I think admissions officers would say this too, pick whatever exam you feel most comfortable with and that you'll be, which, you know, you think you'll be the most successful at. I think that veterans come in with a lot of advantages in terms of their background, and that test scores are not the be-all, end-all for veterans. So with that being said, you know, I think that both are accepted from law school. So if, you know, you feel like you're doing relatively better on the GRE, take that. Or if you feel like you're doing better on the LSAT, then go ahead and take that. But I don't think there's too much of a difference in how admissions actually looks at the scores.
Right, right. And then prepping for law school, right? So you were in a classroom environment, left that classroom environment in the military, and then kind of making that transition back. Can you help our listeners understand either things you did, things you wish you would have done, or how you best prepared yourself, especially for a pretty rigorous law school curriculum?
Yeah, so I definitely think that the work ethic aspect of the Marine Corps and the military more generally carried over and made my first year a little bit, I think, easier to manage. Overall, you know, deployments, you're used to working very, very long hours in pretty time-pressured situations. So I think having that experience was very helpful, and it made 1L a little bit less of a pressure cooker. I also think that coming from the military, you also have a little bit more perspective on what really, I guess matters in some way. There's no doubt that your first year grades are very important. But at the end of the day, and I'm fortunate to have had the opportunity to be at Harvard, like, you will get opportunities as long as you pass your classes, which is pretty doable overall. But it definitely was an adjustment coming from the military to the academic world. Some of my classmates are just absolutely brilliant. So at times, you know, it felt like it's kind of difficult to keep up with them. But again, I go back to the work ethic aspect. They might get the concepts faster than I can, but I'll certainly put in the work and I'll get to that point where I need to be academically.
Yeah. And in your work with your ambassador, did you all kind of talk about that in terms of like top tier schools or building out that list and understanding, you know, that maybe the learning environment at a school like Harvard Law or a school like Yale Law might be a little bit different from, you know, a school that isn't as highly ranked?
Well, I would say that certainly we discussed like the target list of schools quite a bit, but I think that really no matter what law school you go to, you get a certain skill set of critical thinking that transcends, say rankings. I think that, you know, I've got friends from the military who are T-50, T-100 law schools, and, you know, they're learning, you know, I would say just as much as I am. I think that there is a little bit of a different approach at, say, like Yale, Harvard, Stanford, UChicago, you know, some of the T-14 schools, and that often maybe there's a little bit less of a focus on, say, the black letter law, like, so the content, and more what should the law be in the future. But overall, I mean, I think you learn so much at any law school you end up going to.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you were building out that list, how did you kind of decide which schools geographically, or were you kind of already had that in your mind, especially having a taste from Cornell?
So for me, it was, I guess, a little bit less geographic. It was to an extent because my wife is from Vermont, so that's where I actually lived beforehand. And like in between the military and law school. So that's when I was actually working at that law firm in Vermont. So we wanted to stay in the Northeast if possible. But with that being said, you know, I think, so I didn't apply to any West Coast schools, but really all across the East Coast from the South, all the way up to the Northeast. So I was looking at all those schools.
Yeah. And that's actually really interesting. We've spoken with other law school applicants before and they knew, okay, I want to move back home to California. I want to move back home to Texas or Florida. Do you think that's an important part for them to consider when they are looking at law schools in that geographic area, if that's where they intend to work?
Yeah, so I would say that it really depends on the school. I would say most of the T-14 law schools will transcend, say, state boundaries, and you can work really nationally in pretty much any like big law local environment you want. With that being said, I do think that there's something to be said, like if you're interested in practicing in Texas, going to University of Texas is a great option. So I think that it really depends on the school, but I do think, yes, there's a slight advantage in getting into certain markets. Like even within the T14, I think Columbia places very well into big law in New York City, naturally. And same thing with Cornell. They also place very well in New York City specifically.
Got it. And then let's talk about your time at law school specifically, right? So you're almost done there, getting ready to graduate. What has that experience been like with your peers, with your classmates, especially, you know, we help our applicants so much talk about, you know, the non-traditional path that a lot of our applicants have taken to, you know, higher education. How do you feel like you've, you know, meshed well with your classmates? How has that class and social environment been for you?
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was definitely an adjustment coming from the military where I'd spent almost exclusively my time with other Marines. So there's a certain mindset I think you have being in the Marine Corps overall. But I think that equally going into HLS, my classmates come from all types of different backgrounds, very incredible experiences, as I mentioned, very bright individuals. So it was nice to, I guess, diversify in a lot of ways. I think that there has to be a certain understanding that I come from a different environment and have a different professional background than they do. You know, I don't necessarily know if my classmates always agree with U.S. policies in, say, Afghanistan and Africa where I was. But I think as long as you're understanding on both sides and treat each other with mutual respect, there's a lot to gain in terms of friendships and really learning more about the world.
Mm-hmm. What's been your favorite part about law school?
I think it's actually, well, okay. So, of course, the studies, professors are absolutely incredible. You learn so much from some of the practitioners. Like one of my current professors is Neil Eggleston, who is Obama's White House lawyer for about 4 years. So there's incredible opportunities. But also, since the military, it's been nice to kind of control your own schedule. Like there's a lot of work, certainly, that goes into it. But if I just want to take a break and go work out during lunch and I don't have class, I can go do that. So I think that's an unsung portion of going back to school and not being, you know, in the standard workforce at times.
Right, absolutely. And what's been your least favorite part?
I guess in some ways in law school, I felt a little bit detached from what was going on in the world. To me, you're in an academic environment. And while there are practitioners, a lot of, I think, what we talk about in law school can be theoretical at times rather than practical. I remember, so when I was starting law school, like that week I was starting law school, the drawdown in Afghanistan was happening. The Marines and corpsmen at HKA were killed in the Islamic State strike, the suicide bombing. And I was sitting there like in orientation. I think we were talking about some civil balancing tests. And I'm like, what am I doing? And now since then, I do think I gained a lot of knowledge when it comes to national security and the implications of policy decisions and the underlying law behind it. But at times you can feel very detached from some of the very important events going on in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then you knew you wanted to kind of go the policy route, national security. If someone is coming in and like you kind of knows exactly the type of law they want to practice, what is that experience like in law school, right? Like everyone has the same classes their 1L year, but as you get further throughout the curriculum, like how much are you specializing? How much does it really matter for someone to, like, if they're like, I just want to go to law school, how much does that impact, you know, their academic experience?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, there is that kind of core curriculum to start out. I think that there is enough room, though, to try different things, even if you think you want to go a certain way. And if you don't think you want to go to a certain way, there's again, a variety of classes to pick from. For me, I had, I would say, a combination of national security and then more general criminal prosecution classes. You can be very selective with your schedule, and I probably could have taken only law of war, international law, and national security focused courses, but I also wanted to spend a little bit of time in, say, the white collar world, domestically or looking at, I'm taking a corporations class right now. So I think there's a lot of time to explore if you don't know what you want to do. And both your 1L summer and your 2L summer are good opportunities to test things out and see if certain types of law or certain firms are the right fit or not.
Yeah, that's great. And kind of that same, going on that same avenue, so testing things out, have there been any like clubs, student organizations, or activities that you've been a part of while you're in law school?
Yeah, so I've been very involved in the Armed Forces Association. I'm one of the co-presidents along with Phoebe Kotlikoff, who's one of my classmates. She was in the Navy. And then I'm also involved in the National Security Journal as well. So, you know, really in some ways continuing some of the work I'd done before. I'm also a proud member of the In Vino Veritas Wine Club. Can't say I'm on any type of leadership for it, but that's also a fun one. So those are my three activities, probably a little bit more emphasis on the first two in terms of impact than the last one.
That's awesome. I'm surprised you didn't say that's been your favorite part of law school.
Yeah, I mean, it has been pretty good.
And then let's talk about, you know, relationships with professors, with faculty members. What advice do you have for, you know, people who are considering law school or currently in law school in terms of establishing those relationships? How important is that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's very important. And I think it's very doable. I would say, in terms of the relationships I've established, it hasn't necessarily been like, oh, I want to focus on this big name in national security or this big name in litigation. I think the relationships I've built with professors are, yes, focused on subjects, but a lot of it has also been personality. Two of my professors, especially Professor Nagin, who's the head of the Veterans Legal Clinic, he's just an incredible mentor. And I knew from day one, he was just a good human being. And we've built a substantial relationship. Even though I won't necessarily do, say, strictly veterans law after this, he's taught me so much about litigation generally. And then just another instance, I had a professor in my modern surveillance law class, Professor Salgado. And again, he's just a very good human being, willing to help out. He helped me prepare for one of my interviews for Department of Justice, which I'll be doing after law school. And he was just so unselfish with his time. And so really it was the personality, I think, that drew me to them in addition to the subject matter. And I would say those are the mentors to look out for. Don't necessarily just look for the big name. Look for someone who really cares about your education and is willing to take that extra time.
Yeah, and that's actually a really great pivot into, you know, a next topic. Let's talk about kind of the what's next and career development, right? I think people are like, oh, I'll just go get a law degree and then I have job security, right? But let's talk about how do they work with you all to get these internships or jobs after you graduate?
Yeah, definitely. So we have both OPIA, which is like our public interest focused career services, and then OCS, which is focused more on private sector. Generally, the way law students work it, at least at HLS, has been you do kind of like a public interest internship after 1L. Then after 2L, if you're at all interested in big law, you do a private internship at a big law firm. So that's what I did. I did a U.S. Attorney's Office internship in Boston after my 1L year, working some of the counter-narcotics and money laundering side. And then I worked at a big law firm in D.C. this last summer, doing some national security law work and then working in the white-collar space. So those were like two of the bigger, I would say, like professional opportunities and experiences I had. But, you know, I've always known eventually I wanted to go back in government. And so I was still keeping my eye out, even after my big law internship, for opportunities, and was fortunate enough to get a job. I'll be working briefly at the Afghanistan War Commission, which is a bipartisan Senate commission. And then I will be moving from there next October to the Department of Justice and doing a cyber fellowship. So there's definitely opportunities in public interest or private sector. It's just really whatever you want to end up doing. I would say push for that, make inroads, really spend the time knocking on doors to get where you want to be.
Yeah. And do they help you all with like interview prep and kind of preparing for those interactions with law firms and big law firms?
Yes, on both sides. So for our OCS does mock interviews with candidates before we do our big law firm recruiting cycle. And then same thing with OPIA, the public interest department as well. Like I had a mock interview with one of our advisors for my DOJ interviews, which was very helpful.
That's great. Yeah, the additional support there is, you know, incredibly helpful with the relationships from professors, but also having somewhere to go, especially, you know, I think about some of our service members who are getting out and they maybe haven't interviewed, you know, in a really long time. And it's like, you don't want to get that first interview for your dream job. And that's like your first practice round, right?
Yes, that's definitely true. That's a great point. I think that, like you said, some of the interactions in the military are just different than what you have in the civilian world. So I think that preparation is very helpful.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about, so you are our co-director for the JD team. On our last bit of time together, can you help us, you know, understand a little bit more of the concerns or the questions that you hear the most often from applicants that you all are either supporting or even if they're just considering law school?
Yeah, so I would say the most common one we get is what GPA and what LSAT score do I need to get into this school or the T4?
The crystal ball question.
Exactly. And I often have to give the slightly dissatisfying answer, like there is no one size fits all for this. I can tell you across the board, being a veteran is an advantage that transcends your scores. My advice when it comes to prepping for the LSAT is there's only so many things you can control throughout the application cycle. Your GPA is often already set, so that's one card down. Your LSAT, you can put in work to it, and you can do better and get the score you want. But if you have tried and you're not quite there, but you have a score, that's okay. Okay, so now your GPA and LSAT are set. You still have your personal statement, you still have your resume, and you still have a diversity statement. Those you should pour all of your effort into. So you just control what you can and put in the best effort you can, and things will often work out. I know if things had only been about GPA and LSAT, I would not have gotten into HLS. So I can tell you that these admissions officers do take those other components very seriously.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we say that, echo that all the time on the undergraduate side too, is that there's only so much of this process that you can control. And the part that you can control, the narratives that we have control over, that's where we need to be, you know, spending a majority of our time, because the rest of it, you know, I mean, at some point you've got to stop testing. At some point your GPA is, you know, it's a number and that's what it is. But when we can talk a little bit more about essays and personal statements and the narrative that you want to share, you know, and leaning in when appropriate on that veteran identity, that's, you know, a unique perspective. Everyone's submitting a transcript. Everyone's submitting a test score, but not everyone is submitting your personal statement and your story. So I think I love hearing that advice is kind of, you know, still relevant. Especially when individuals are pursuing graduate school.
Yes, 100%.
And then what would you say is your like last piece of advice if someone's considering law school, they're like, I'm thinking about it, but not entirely sure. What advice do you have for that individual?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of great opportunities out there on the grad school side, whether MBA, MPP, or JD, or anything else you want to be involved in. I think that for military members, as I mentioned, it's a natural transition to go to law school. If you're interested in government service down the road and public interest, I think that the law really undergirds everything the United States makes decisions on. So even if you have a broad idea of different careers you're interested in, I think the law will be relevant. So I would recommend just giving it a shot. And when it comes to applying to schools, put yourself out there. You'd be amazed at how much people want veterans in their organizations and in their law schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I mean, that last piece is just such a great key to end on, is that veterans in higher education in these schools, at these programs, are truly valued and sought after. Your opinions matter, your experiences matter, and they're so unique. Reading admissions essays, I loved when I was able to read a veteran's essay. You just have you know, different experiences that the traditional student doesn't have. And it's just such an eye-opener to other people's experiences. So, Nathan, this has been fun. Thank you for all the support and the guidance that you provide to our applicants on the JD team and your dedication to service to school. We're very excited to continue to see your success and your journey to DC after graduation. If there's ever anything Service School can do to support you down the road, you know where to find us. And then anyone considering law school, please reach out, sign up for the JD team. Nathan and his team will get you paired up with an ambassador and make sure that you get the support and the resources that you need to be successful in your law school applications. So Nathan, thanks again. And everyone stay tuned for next week's episode.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
That's all we have for this episode. Join us next week, same time, same place, where we share more Service to School stories. Service to School Stories is hosted by Sydney Mathis, Chief Program Officer, and Alec Emmert, Service to School CEO. Our podcast is produced and edited by our Director of Communication, Amanda Tobias. Service to School is a 501c3 nonprofit providing free college admission support to transitioning service members and veterans. Join us next week and follow us for more on your favorite social media platforms.